apologize to council for the delay. We are waiting for Justice Cook to arrive, who apparently is involved in the detours as a result of the problems on I-71. So we have reversed the order of oral arguments, hoping that she'll be here in time for the oral arguments in case number 99-2158. So that makes the first case 00-1100, District Council versus Jeffrey Lynn Oglesby. Ms. Brown.
Good morning, may I please the court? My name is Lori Brown, counsel for Relator Disciplinary Counsel. Disciplinary counsel in this case has filed two objections to the board's report and recommendation. The first objection is to the board's failure to find a violation of DR2-106A that is charging a clearly excessive fee that relates in particular to the case of Russell Boyd Jr. In that case, the respondent charged $1,000, ultimately returned $600 of that $1,000. The board found that the Boyds received nothing of value for the respondent's services. In that sense, disciplinary counsel believes that based on that finding, any payment to the respondent would have been a clearly excessive fee, much less $400. The evidence also shows in this case that the respondent neglected the Boyds case. The respondent gave advice that was to the Boyds' disadvantage, in fact, and caused them more harm than they would have had occurred to them had respondent not represented them at all.
Ms. Brown, this terminology hasn't been used by the panel, nor by the board, nor even disciplinary counsel. So I'm alerting you, it's my terminology, and I'm wondering if it is accurate. This looks to me almost like conversion.
Almost, Your Honor, yes. If you receive money, in fact, that's sort of a client security fund type of argument. If you receive attorney fees and do no services whatsoever, you're entitled, you are technically seen to have taken the money, converted the funds.
I'm talking about the money from the bank.
Oh, from the bank, sir, yes.
Yeah.
Misappropriation, I think, could be a very similar term. Conversion, misappropriation, the $5,000, yes.
Was what he did a crime?
In fact, I have in my notes that I'm frankly quite surprised that he was not prosecuted, but he was not prosecuted. They threatened criminal prosecution. The bank actually also threatened to file a grievance, which they did do. They did not prosecute him criminally, no.
Does your office ever make a referral on these kinds of matters?
We do all the time pursuant to EC1-4. We're required to.
Did you hear?
It had already been done prior to the local authorities had been involved and were out of the case at the time we became aware of it.
Did your office make a referral in this case?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay.
If it was done, sir, I apologize. Jeff McManus handled this case, and I know I should never refer to prior counsel, but I don't know whether he did or not.
Okay, but if in fact you did not make a referral in this case, might we construe that from that it was not strong enough to support a criminal conviction, then maybe the panel and board had it right with regard to the penalty as opposed to what you're requesting?
Well, my understanding is that the local authorities had been involved prior to our office being involved, prior to the bank filing a complaint. The local authorities had already made a determination based on their conversations with the respondents. And the evidence also shows that he had applied for a credit card, he had made promises to repay the money, those types of interactions with the local authorities. They made no decision in the prosecutorial discretion here. They made no decision to prosecute him. Now, does that mean that his conduct was not clear and convincing evidence of misconduct? No. Two different. Could he be prosecuted for a crime? I don't know, and that's not the board's call. Obviously, it's not our call. But they had already made that decision, or were in the process thereof, at the time we became aware of it. We knew they were involved already.
Thank you.
In addition to the violation of 2106A, Relator also believes that the respondent in this case should be indefinitely suspended from the practice of law. The board in this case recommended a one-year suspension. Relator's recommendation is based on a number of different things. First of all, this is the respondent's second discipline. He was suspended for 1 year previously and was, with 6 months of that suspension, stayed. He was reinstated to the practice of law on December 30th of 1992 and was placed on probation. Thereafter, at varying levels of compliance, respondent participated in his monitored probation with an attorney by the name of Ronald Bailey. The evidence will show that he did in fact interact with Mr. Bailey in 1994, 1995, very little in 1996, 1997, and 1998. The rules in this situation are very clear. The GovBar rules provide that the duty is on the respondent to initiate contact with his or her monitor. This isn't about the respondent's monitor or relator's office going out and chasing down a respondent on probation. That respondent has to make the effort to get with his monitor, has to make sure those reports are submitted. They were not submitted in this case. In fact, when relator's counsel at the time wrote letters to the respondent asking for information about his practice, she got nothing in return, absolutely nothing. The respondent in this case has engaged in a pattern of misconduct. The misconduct in this case is not, as he described it, an aberration. There is client after client whose cases were neglected, whose appeals were dismissed, cases in which the respondent was appointed counsel. There is also one case in which the respondent took additional monies, $1,000, in addition to the amount he was paid as appointed counsel. And still, he did nothing for that client. The case which I already spoke about, Russell Boyd, is an additional pattern of neglect, an additional case where the client was neglected. And finally, the case in which Justice Douglas asked me about the $5,000 that was misappropriated from the bank. The aggravating factors that have been adopted by the Board of Commissioners effective June 1, 2000 apply directly to this case in warranting an indefinite suspension for the respondent. The respondent has engaged in multiple offenses. This is the respondent's second discipline. He is engaged in a pattern of neglect, and he has refused to acknowledge the nature of his wrongdoing. This is a case in which the respondent offered excuses rather than explanations for his misconduct. The cases in which the appeals were dismissed, he tried to blame the court reporters for not preparing the transcripts in time. He offered very colorful, I shall use that word, arguments that he was going to make on behalf of those clients, but none of those arguments ever got made. Just saying you're going to do something is not as good as actually doing it, not as good as actually filing the brief. This respondent should be required to prove to this court in 2 years or in excess thereof that he is fit to be readmitted to the practice of law in Ohio. But from this time forward, the respondent should be indefinitely suspended from the practice of law. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Mr. Willoughby has waived all arguments. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.